The only reason today that people are not flocking by the multitudes to the house of God is because the house of God themselves have not really understood and do not really know that they are the house of God. We sing songs about it. Know ye not ye are the temple. We sing so many songs and we know that we're the house of the Lord. But I'll tell you, in these days, the Lord is unveiling even to our eyes. And if you haven't seen this yet, if it's still pretty much intellectual for you, I can promise you that God is going to unveil your eyes and you are going to literally see that you are the house of God. And then you'll be able to understand, how could anyone ever say that you are not wonderful? How could anyone say that you are not whole? The people of the Lord are the most beautiful people on earth today. Yet, for the most part, they are the most discouraged, disheartened, fed up. But all that was for a purpose, to make us realize we can't make it, folks. There's not even a slim chance that you in your human personality are going to make it. But there's an awakening taking place and a shaking in the land. There's a stirring going on the inside of us that no man, not even your man, not even your carnal mentality, is going to stop in these days the arising of the Spirit of God within you. God is rising in His temple and nothing will stop it.
Amen.
If you don't have this understanding, go to God and ask Him to reveal to you the truth, the revelation of His Spirit within you. The Christ of God. We have within us the Spirit of the living God. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from among the dead now dwells in our being. We are overcomers. But when we say we are overcomers, you see, in the past, we know that that's not true because we're looking at our carnal nature thinking that someday that we're going to overcome that nature with that nature. And that's not the message. The message is that you have been born again by the Spirit of the living God. And it's not your carnal nature, but it's the Spirit of God in you that's the overcomer. And if you understand that it's the Spirit of God that's the overcomer, if you really understand that, you don't have any more struggles with the flesh. Over and over and over, my heart goes to God. Give your people a revelation. Open the eyes of their understanding. Because as long as you are trying to overcome, you will miss what God is doing. Yet if you have a revelation of Christ within you and realize that you are an overcomer, then you will begin to overcome. An overcomer always overcomes. You don't have an undercomer in you. You have an overcomer in you. In fact, you are the overcomer. But it's not the I that's the personal ego. It's the I that is Christ.
Amen.
It's what Paul said so many years ago. He said, I live, yet it's not I, but it's Christ. We've known these things for so many years. In fact, when I first gave this message of the oneness of God and man, I definitely had the revelation of that word when I gave the message and I wrote the book, but I did not have much of the experience. It's been 10 years since I gave that message. And God has brought You know, it's just line upon line and precept upon precept, moment upon moment, day after day, I have literally watched my life change without any effort. In fact, every time I make an effort, I take 3 steps backwards. The flesh was never meant to overcome. I want to look at Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 1, the Apostle Paul writes, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Now this is what is going to bring the house of God into such a position where people will literally flock to us in countless numbers, because they're going to begin to see a people who are not high-minded, a people who have no competitive spirit, a people who are not promoting themselves, a people who are preferring one above the other. Now, this is not a performance. If any of you are familiar with our ministry, you know that one of the basic things we teach is that God is not interested in your performance. You cannot perform the Christian walk. It has to be a lifestyle. Let's suppose that you're a teacher or a preacher. And do you ever get a bunch of preachers together and hear the competitiveness sometimes in the conversation? Or you get a bunch of preachers together and they're all itching to get to the platform? Well, when you find a group of people who are not interested in performance, but are interested in what does God have to say, the more you have an understanding, I mean a real heart revelation of God and His character, the less you want to do anything. And the more you realize the value of every believer. Forbearing one another in love. The very hallmark of one who is becoming filled with the nature and the character of God is love. We all know that the description that God gives of Himself is that He is love. And love always prefers the other. With all lowliness and meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The unity of the Spirit. Well, what Spirit? Of course, it's the Holy Spirit. This is not saying that we must keep the unity of the doctrines or the unity of the knowledge. It's the unity of the Spirit. And we know that Paul says there is one Lord. There is one faith. There is one baptism. There is one God and Father of all who is in all. There is not the Christian, whether he be Pentecostal, Baptist, Lutheran, the unity of the Spirit is simply moving in the heart of God. Walking in the love of God. Not just for your neighbor, not just for those who go to the same fellowship you do, but for the world. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called, in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. And folks, we have to see this for humanity. One of the things that people object to a lot that I teach is that God is in every man. That the Spirit of the living God is in every man. And one of the verses to show that is Zechariah 12:1, that God, in the beginning, stretched forth the heavens, He laid the foundations of the earth, and then He formed the Spirit in man. And God is Spirit. And then John said that Jesus was the true light that lights every man that comes into the world. And Proverbs says the spirit of man is the candle or the light of the Lord. We must see that God is in every man. Not every man is aware of that. But nevertheless, for the people of God to come into a unity that's going to bring the nations in among us, we have to have the vision to know that God is in every man. Every woman, every boy, and every girl. God is in everyone. So, there is one Lord, there is one faith, there is one Spirit. There are not Christians, and Hindus, and Buddhists, and New Agers. There is only one God, one Spirit. There isn't the Baptist faith, the Lutheran faith, the Christian faith, the Hindu faith. There is no such thing. There's only one Spirit, one Lord, one faith. And no matter where you are today on the face of the earth, if you have a heart for God, if there's something in you that's longing and crying out for God, it's only because He is drawing you or has drawn you. And it is your time to come into the knowledge of God. And we, as people of God, must realize that no matter where a man is, no matter what his condition in life, no matter what his faith is, no matter what he's been taught intellectually, if he has a heart for God, if he's hungry for God, God is drawing that man. And as long as you have any bigotry in your heart at all, towards any man in any condition, you're going to miss what God is doing today. And I hear bigotry coming from all corners of the Christian world today. The Christians don't have a corner on God. God today is raising the consciousness of His presence in all the peoples of the world. And I've said this before, but it bears saying again, that some of them have been taught that Buddhism is a way. Some of them have been taught Hinduism is a way. Some of them have been taught that the Baptists are the way, or the Pentecostals are the way. But there's only one way. There's only one way to God. And that's through a heart relationship. That's by Him quickening you by His Spirit. And I'll tell you, it's very, very important in these days that we drop the bigotry and expect man to have the proper intellectual knowledge before we can accept him as someone who is saved. You should be able to look into a heart. You should be able to discern by the Spirit if someone is truly one who God is drawing. And that is the only basis for you to make any judgment or discernment. And we must minister to people everywhere. And don't try to convince them that we are right and you are wrong. The only way we can convince anybody of anything is through our love. You know, you can love somebody who has been totally deceived by any religion in the world. And simply by loving and ministering to them, you can bring them into the light where God Himself will reveal Himself to them. But if we do it how it's been done in the past, through intellectual teaching, and you have to know this, and you have to do this right, and you have to believe this, the only thing you have to know is that God is love, God is your creator, God is in you whether you know it or not, And if you will simply open to Him in the smallest way, you will experience what the Word calls a quickening or a regenerating. I want to read something to you in Acts 17. Acts 17 and 22. This is a very famous passage in the New Testament because it's Paul's sermon at Mars Hill. But I just want to remind you of what Paul said to these heathens. These people who worshiped all kinds of gods, and because they didn't want to miss out on any god, they had one god they called the unknown god. But listen what Paul said to them. Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription to the unknown God. Whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwells not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he gives to all life and breath and all things. And he has made of one blood all nations of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined the times before appointed in the bounds of their habitations, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him, and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live, and move, and have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring." You have to realize, Paul was speaking to heathens. It would be like me today going into a Buddhist temple and bringing this message. And you can literally say to someone who is bowing down to an idol in ignorant worship, that in God you live, and you move, and you have your being, because that is who you really are. You might bow down to an idol, but let me introduce you to the real God, the one in whom you live, and who you move, and in who you have your being. I can only introduce you to Him. I can only, by revelation, speak to you. And God, as He opens your eyes to understand that you are His offspring, as you begin to understand that you are His offspring, and that you have within your being the seed of His life, you will immediately stop bowing down to an idol. But if I go into your temple and I start saying, you know, coming against everything that you have believed all of your life, if I start telling you that this is God's Word, but what you have is not, we have to reach people. We have to touch the hearts of God's people. And this, so many people are saying, is a New Age gospel. But you know, I want to make something clear. I really don't know what the New Age is, except what I've heard. And what I've heard is that the New Age is trying to meld all the religions of the world into one. Now I want to tell you something. That's not what I'm talking about. What I am talking about will deliver you from religion. Once God begins to live in you, you won't touch religion of any kind. If God comes alive in you, if His Spirit is living in you, how could you be religious? How could you sit and listen to the doctrines and precepts of men? How could you let any man tell you this is the truth if you have the truth inside of you? Now, granted, we're all at different stages and levels of growth and understanding. But listen, Spirit knows Spirit. Amen. You might not understand it, A lot of times people tell me when the first time they hear me speak, they'll say, well, my heart is stirred, but my head says no. My head keeps telling me danger, danger, danger. Well, of course. Because when Adam is uncovered, when the Lord is revealed within you, that mentality has to die. And of course it's going to shout, danger, danger, don't listen to this, don't listen to this. See, the message for the world today is only one, that God has recovered you back to Himself. He didn't just redeem a few. He didn't just forgive a few. He didn't determine that a few would be saved and the rest would be eternally lost. God has a plan that is so perfect and worked out to every minute detail of your life. I can guarantee you, every one of you here today, that in your life, you are right where you need to be. Because it takes every detail, it takes every circumstance, it takes everything that happened to you to bring you to the point where you are right now. And if you understand that, you can rest. If you understand, no matter where you are today, if you can understand that God chose you before the foundation of the world, that you would be holy and without blame before Him in love. If you can believe this simple word, and that's not someday, but that's right now. And I know the condition of carnal humanity. I know the condition. I know the condition of some people who love God. I know the carnal condition that most of us are in. But the truth is, and the truth will set you free. The truth is, you are holy, unblameable, irreprovable in His sight. And if you can accept that, you will be that experientially. If you can accept that, you won't yet experience it, but you still will. Because God has never, ever made one human being that will fail except for a purpose. Because He works all things after the counsel of His own will. Known by God are all His works from beginning unto end. Let's go back to Ephesians. It says in the Amplified Bible, it says that we are, speaking of us, we are the fullness of Him who fills everything, everywhere with Himself. How could anyone tell you that you're not wonderful? You see, the problem is, and this is something I'm hammering over and over and over and over and over, the problem is we look at our carnality. And that thing will never get any better.
Right.
Never. We keep expecting that the carnal nature, that we will overcome it. And you will not. You never will. But if you understand who you really are, if you understand that in God's eyes, there are no failures. In God's eyes, the sin of the world was annulled. In God's eyes, He holds no man accountable for his sin. In God's eyes, I was complete. And we know these scriptures. Again, Larry read tonight, you are complete in Him. We will never be complete in our carnal human nature. We're complete in Him.
Amen.
And where is He? He's in His temple. And today, He is being revealed in His temple. There is one body. There is one Spirit. There is one Lord. There is one faith. There is one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Now, I realize here Paul was writing to Christians, but in Athens, he was talking to heathens, and he said basically the same thing. You may not realize it, but in God, you live, and you move, and you have your being. And he wants to live and move and have his being in you. And as you see that, you will become that. One of the greatest needs among God's people today is oneness. And folks, we can never be one until we understand we are one. We don't have to try to be one. The problem is we try to be one in the mentality. We try to be one in doctrine. I don't know a church, or I'm sure there is some, but almost every group has their statement of faith and their doctrine of belief, what they believe in. Folks, we'll never be one there until Christ is fully mature in all of us. And when he is mature within us, then we will agree eye to eye. But until then, all of us are at different stages and levels of spiritual growth. And what I see, someone less mature than me cannot see. And if they can see, they can't walk in it. And if they can't see it, they'll be in disagreement with it. But see, the unity of the faith is in the uniting bond of peace. It's the unity of spirit. One of the things I like to say is this way. It's oneness in diversity. We don't have to think alike. We don't all have to believe alike. But we do have to learn to appreciate and love one another right exactly where we are.
Amen.
And we must stop expecting people to believe everything just because God spoke it to me, you have to believe it. No, you don't. I heard someone express it once, God's word is like an onion. There's several layers of his truth. And some people who are unskilled in the word or newborn babes in the word, they'll read the word and it's just a literal word to them. For instance, you know, today there are many Christians who are looking for this holy city, the New Jerusalem, thinking that it's some kind of a beautiful city with pearly gates. And it's got streets of gold, and it's got water running down the street, and they see this literal physical city that's coming down out of the sky. Where someone who peels the onion back a little further, they will see the streets of gold. My, what is gold? Gold means divine life. And streets concerns the walk. So the golden streets means if I'm walking in the New Jerusalem, I'm walking in the divine life. And as I walk in the divine life, I have a river in the center of my being. There is the river of water of life. And as I walk in the streets of gold, as I walk in the divine nature, the river in me begins to flow. And that river in me that flows is nothing less than the divine life and spirit of the living God. Therefore, as I'm walking in the nature and character of God, as I speak, what flows out of me is living water to water and heal everywhere it flows. That's what we're coming into. We don't all have to believe the same way. We all know by now that intellectual beliefs is what has caused all of the divisions and all of the problems in the church. Right now, people all over the world are beginning to wake up and realize that on the inside of them, God is stirring. This is happening among the Buddhists. It's happening among the Hindus. It's happening among the Pentecostals. It's happening among the Baptists. It's happening among the New Age people. And what happens when they wake up is that every one of them, as they progress, And as the Spirit of the Lord draws them, every one of them gets out of religion of all kinds. Now that doesn't mean that if you're sitting in a Baptist church, you can't experience God. That's not what I'm saying. You know, don't leave your church, because you can experience God wherever you are. And the more you fellowship and the more the Spirit of God rises in you, He will speak to you. And this is what the world over, people are beginning to wake up and learn to follow, not what the teacher says. The teacher can only confirm to you what God has said to you. If what I'm saying to you tonight does not bear any witness, does not make any sense, don't pay any attention to it. You're not obligated. Because Jesus said that when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. And once you discover that, you don't any longer need me to tell you, because the Spirit of God within you will lead you and direct you. And more across the land and across the world and in all religions today, people are waking up, shaking themselves, and finding that there is such an abundance of His provision in His life. Well, in verse 10 of chapter 4, or let's start at verse 11 in chapter 4. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some pastors, evangelists. I'm not going to speak on this verse. It's been taught so much. I just want to read it and go on. He gave some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or building up of the body of Christ, until we all arrive in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Now that's what I'm talking about here tonight. You see, this truth has no boundaries as far as you don't have to be in a certain geographical location. You don't have to be in a certain religion. You don't have to have a certain mindset. You don't have to be taught all kinds of religious theology. You simply have to have the knowledge that God is in you. And then, just very simply, go to Him and say, God, if this is true. I did this, 20, 30 years ago. I said, God, if this is true, this is the end of my search. If You can come alive on the inside of me, if You, by Your Spirit, can infiltrate and saturate my being. I looked for this since I was 11 years old. And I was 20. I grew up in church and never knew that God could come alive on the inside of me. I'll tell you, it's the answer. Once that happens to you, if you don't listen to religion, that living guidance system will guide you into all the truth. But because we listen to religion, we listen to our mentality, the guidance system is silenced. Until we all arrive at the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Have you ever been carried about with the wind of doctrine? If you've been a hungry Christian, I guarantee you, you've been in many winds of doctrine. I'll never forget one of the things I wanted to learn when I was a new Christian. I went into the Assemblies of God, and one of the things I learned about right away was the rapture. And so I was really interested. I thought, man, this sounds great. But then, as I was studying the doctrine, I found out there was three different positions on that doctrine. There was pre-trib, mid-trib, and post-trib. And so, boy, I wanted to find out the truth. So I got all the material that I could find. I went to libraries, went to different places, and I read all this information on pre-trib rapture. And I was convinced. And then I read all the literature, everything I could find on the mid-trib. Did the same thing with the... whatever I was reading at the time, I was convinced that was the truth. Because, listen, people don't believe these things because there's not some validity to what is being said. But the moment that you focus your attention on a teaching or a doctrine, and I don't care how scriptural, I don't care if Jesus himself spoke that teaching or doctrine, if you focus on a doctrine, it will be a wind that will carry you away from Christ. It will be a wind that will carry you away from the unity of the Spirit, because you won't want to fellowship with those who don't believe what God told you. We think that when God tells us something, that the whole world needs to do the same thing. I'll tell you a story about my mother. She was a very proud woman. She wouldn't answer the door in the morning until she had her makeup on. And I mean, I don't care what happened. She would not let anybody see her without her makeup. One day God spoke to her and he said, "Helen, you are a proud woman. You need to wash your face and don't you put that makeup on again." Now this almost killed my mother. You cannot believe the humiliation it caused her to go out in public without makeup on. She had no eyebrows at all. And she was but she did it. Now, God spoke that to her. And I'm sure God has spoken that to many women who are proud. And so we have a doctrine in some of our holiness churches that women shouldn't wear makeup. I'm sure there's been times when God has spoken to people and said, "You need to take that jewelry off. You really think you're something." God will tell you anything it takes to do away with your pride or whatever it is that's your problem. God will speak to you. But that doesn't mean that he's speaking that way to everybody. And so we've had holiness doctrines that said you can't wear makeup, you can't cut your hair, you can't, you know, women preachers are going to hell. I mean, we've had all kinds of things. And again, I can't stress this enough. No matter how good your doctrine is, a doctrine is a wind that will blow you away from the reality of Christ. The only thing you can depend on is not what Gary Sigler says, or any man says. The only guarantee you have of hearing God correctly is to hear what he's saying to you. And then whatever he says to you, you do it. But don't expect everybody else to do it. See, this is the unity of the Spirit. So God says to me, "Gary, you're proud. Take off that Rolex watch." And so I take it off, and then I condemn everybody else that wears a Rolex watch. It's the unity of the Spirit. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Oh, this is so important. Because today, this is something that causes me a lot of grief. This thing that we have in Christianity today, that you must believe right or you can't know God. If your intellectual concepts are not scriptural, you couldn't possibly know God. We judge by outward appearance and by intellectual knowledge. Brother, do you believe in the virgin birth? Or any number of other things? You see, the only one who can really convince me of the virgin birth is God himself. Because it's something that's impossible to happen. And just because I read it here, you see, we've been trained as Christians. If it says it here, that's the absolute truth and you have to receive it. But, and then what it does is it forces you to accept something intellectually. Yet, if you know, get to know God, it's so easy for him to give you revelation. Not hard at all. We henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. Brother, do you believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Do you believe that everybody needs to speak in tongues or they're not filled with the Holy Ghost? A big wind that has carried multitudes of Christians away from the reality of Christ is the gifts of the Spirit. You know, when it comes right down to it, there's only one thing of value in your life and mine. Only one. How much of Christ has been imparted to you? Listen to me. Listen to the Spirit. Do you think God is offended if I don't know His name? Do you think God is offended if I don't know about Calvary? Do you think it's possible for me to be regenerated and saved without knowing about Calvary and without ever hearing the name of Jesus? Because if you don't think that's possible, you don't really know God, not intimately. There are people all over the world today who are waking up, who are being stirred and being called, who have never heard the name of Jesus. Oh, they will. But if you don't understand that, you can't help them because you'll be trying to get them to believe what you know to be the truth. And rather, you have to feed them. You have to love them. You have to help uncover the Christ within them. And their intellectual beliefs then will fall away, just like ours does. I studied so much. I wanted the reality of God so much. There was a time when I could quote the whole book of Ephesians, about half of the book of Romans, and I had so little reality. I did that because I was hungry. And I did that because I was taught that that's how you know God, is to get to know His Word. But I can guarantee you, folk, I was so full of this. My wife can tell you that we could drive, sometimes I'd drive for an hour and a half from Los Angeles to Lancaster, where we lived, and I could quote the Word all the way. I didn't have a whole lot of reality. It's not what you know. The apostles did not have this book.
No, they didn't.
This book came out of their experience. And yet today we're told this is the end of the story. There is no more Scripture. Well, if there is no more Scripture, then there is no more revelation. And if there is no more revelation, then what we've been given in the church today, we're people most miserable. More than anything else, we need an understanding of God's heart. He proved His love at Calvary. And you know, He died that you might have life. Do you realize He didn't die so that you would have to crucify yourself to have life? You don't find life by crucifying the flesh. You find life, and life overtakes the flesh. I am come that you might have life. We've got into so much religious activity and haven't found life. Because listen, folks, and only you know, because if you're not living by His life, if His life isn't being formed in you, if you cannot see a progression of Christ living in you, then you're just being religious. Or you haven't really understood the truth. We henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. One group of Christians today who are divided doctrinally over baptism, that there are over 300 different denominations and groups over just the one doctrine of baptism. The Pentecostals have taken one of the most precious truths in the Bible of the baptism in the Holy Spirit and have not produced oneness. It's caused more division. The doctrine, not the reality of it, but the doctrine. Because see, the reality of it, if I'm full of the Holy Ghost, What does that mean? That means the Spirit of God is once again living and moving on the face of the earth. It's not about doctrine. It's about an experience. If you speak in tongues 10 hours a day, and your life is not being transformed, if you're not finding yourself becoming more Christ-like, there's something wrong. It's not a doctrine. Be no more like children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. You center on one thing. God, I want to know you. I want to know you and the reality of your Spirit that you've placed within me. If you will forget everything else and center on the seed of God, if you will center your attention, your focus, and your mind upon what God says that you are, you will see very shortly and very quickly that you really are an overcomer. Because you're taking your attention off of the flesh and centering it on God. That's what it means to repent. Change your mind. You think you're a sinner. And if you've been taught you're not, then you still think you're a failure. You're not a failure. Adam is a failure. But you're not Adam. Verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Speaking the truth in love. What is the truth? Speaking the truth in love. You know what the truth is. You really do. You know what it is. Speak the truth in love. Speak it to yourself and speak it to one another. When someone comes to me and they're so discouraged and they're so depressed and they're so, some people, you know, they can be so full of lust, they can be just miserable. And if you know that in that person, you know who they really are, you begin to see as God sees. You don't see a lustful failure. You don't see someone full of anger and bitterness. You see the seed of God that is in that person. And you can literally speak life to their inner being. If you try to bring them correction, if you try to tell them they can't do that, if you try to adjust their outward carnal man in any way, you will fail. But if you will simply speak the truth in love, do you realize that in the very center of your being, far past your mind, far past your emotion and will, deep embedded within your consciousness is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The very seed of his life is in you. And if you will simply learn how to water that seed, and let me help you. Let me continually fellowship. Let me pray with you. Let me minister to you. That seed in you will begin to grow. And if you are lustful, that lust will fall away. If you are a homosexual, if you are a pervert, if you are whatever you are, if you will let me speak truth to you, and if you, listen, if people sense no condemnation coming from you, if they sense nothing but a caring and a love and a concern to help them, they will change so quickly. And if they don't, that's God's business and not yours. It is your responsibility. God gave you an assignment that you would come and minister to creation. And minister nothing but the truth. And speak the truth in love. And the reason most Christians haven't done it is because they haven't really known. We know the word that says he took away the sin of the world, but we don't really believe it because sin is so evident in our creation. But you see, sin will always be rampant in the natural, carnal, human mentality and in the human race. But in Christ, There is no sin. You have within your being the seed of His life. You have a life that has never known and never been touched by sin. You have a life that's far beyond human comprehension. You have a life that knows no bounds and no limitations. You have a life that will absolutely swallow up your darkness. You have a life that will swallow up the lust and the hurt and the prostitution and the homosexuality. You have within your being the very substance of who He is. Speak the truth in love. The world has had so much condemnation. People go to church Sunday after Sunday and get beat up. They don't hear the truth in love. They hear all about what they must do and how they must perform before God will really accept them. And it's all about knowing and loving God. That's all it's about. That's why the very first commandment was love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And we all know that's an impossibility until He's birthed within you. When His life begins to arise within you, there is a burning desire for nothing but God. You can't manufacture that. You can't cause that to happen. And neither should you condemn someone who has not had that happen. Let's let the walls of separation come down. He took the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. Remember what Paul said in Ephesians. He said, you Gentiles. There were only two classes of people in those days in the Jewish mindset. There were the Jews, the people of God, and there were the Gentiles, the sinners. And Paul boldly told them in Ephesians, He has taken both Jew and Gentile. He has taken both of you. And through the blood of His cross, He has united you together in one body. There is no such thing today as a sinner outside of the body of Christ. They just don't know it. And it's our pleasure, it's the good news that we have to bring to them of their inheritance. There is neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male nor female. There is only one, and that one is Christ on the earth. Everything else is falsehood. The only real thing in the universe is Christ and His church. Jesus is the head and we are the body. Is the body any less divine than the head? You have to hear what I'm saying by the Spirit. And if you hear it, you will arise in glorious victory. Because it's not Adam that hears this. Christ hears this word. And you can understand the scripture that says, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. There's only one message today, and that's the revelation of Christ within His people. Doctrine hasn't worked. Teaching hasn't worked. Church hasn't worked. We certainly know the fivefold ministry hasn't done the job. But today, Christ is doing the job in His people. There are people on the earth today who are coming out of all forms of religious thought and mentality and becoming one in spirit. And they don't all necessarily agree doctrinally. Somebody was saying to me yesterday, in fact, that all of you kingdom and sonship preachers, not all of you agree on everything. Why, of course we don't. We're all of us at different levels of growth and understanding. But we do understand what God is after. And that is the rising up of Christ within His temple. And all of us are ministering to those ends, that God would have His inheritance in His people. And that's what's happening. Glory. Does anybody have any questions? Maybe even something you've heard me say in the past that you don't understand or don't agree with, or yeah.
Tell us the rest of the story about your mother.
Well, the end of the story was that she went without makeup for Oh, it was several years, and probably 4 or 5 years. And one day she was in the bathroom. She got out of the shower, and she used to say, I got just used to the way I was. And she said, one day God just said to me, you can put your makeup back on now. And you know, that's going to be true in all of our lives. There's going to be things that God is going to touch. There's some things I can do that some of you can't do. And there's some of the things you can do that I can't do. We gotta break out of this religious mentality. Oneness is not everybody being exactly alike. Oneness is we all have the same life. We all have the same nature. We all have the same God. That is our focus of unity, not what we think here. And I'll tell you, you'll have to experience this for yourself, and this makes a lot of people nervous when I say this. But I have to speak the truth. I have spoken to people that don't know anything about Christ and have sensed the love, the compassion of God within them. They had just never been brought into an understanding of, you know, of God as I know Him. But there is only one God. And folks, if somebody is manifesting love and joy and peace and long-suffering and goodness and meekness and temperance, that's the fruit of the Spirit. One of the things that's caused God's people a problem with this is because there was a lady many years ago who wrote books on spiritual warfare. And I think that those books have probably done as much damage to the church as any books that I've ever read or ever seen. I had a precious friend one time, after hearing me teach the way I taught tonight, sent me about 3 pages out of this person's book on spiritual warfare. And this is what I read on those pages. When a person has their heart open and is really, really seeking after God and is really beginning to spend time seeking after Him, is their most vulnerable time to be deceived by the devil. And in that period, in that time in their life, when they're so open and they're so hungry and they're so vulnerable, they may receive a false spirit of love, of joy. Have you ever heard any teaching like that? Well, you know, there's a verse, even in the Old Testament, it says, woe unto those who call light darkness and darkness light. How could you look at someone who displays the characteristics of God, one who lives in peace, one who displays the loveliness and the character of God, and say, because they don't believe like you do, they're in deception? And I'm hearing this all the time. And until we wake up and realize there is only one God, you cannot fake the love of God. You can't do it. Why would the devil want to? I mean, think about it. What's the point? If the devil gets everybody to love one another, what's wrong with that? What is wrong with that? We'd sure have a much better world. And I don't think, from all that we've ever been taught about this character, that that's what he'd want to do. Of course, all of our teaching about the devil has been wrong too, but that's another message in itself. But you need to have God unveil your eyes to Christ in His creation, and you will see Him everywhere. But you have to let Him be everywhere. And don't have mindsets that say, no, that couldn't be. That couldn't be God. They don't believe this, or they don't believe that, or they were raised in some other religion. I'll tell you, God is coming alive in all of His creation.